I'm going to mute so you don't hear my clicking.
I'm going to figure out what's going on with that. So this is, and I'm sorry that Leia's not here, no Davida Camp, because this is all based or inspired by Rav Kopperman, who was from Michlala. He founded Michlala, where Leia and Davida both learned. And he has this massive two-volume, total 1,000 pages work called Pshuto Shel Mikra, all dealing with pshat and what that means. And this is mostly based on what he says about the Rashbam and the Rashbam's approach to pshat. We all know the Rashbam, Rabbi Shmuel ben Meir, he was the grandson of Rashi, son of Yocheved, I think. I suppose if I read someone wrote a three-part fiction series based on Rashi's daughters. I was thought about reading that, but he was one of the Baalei Tosfot, and in fact, he's one of the major commentators on the Gemara, and in places where Rashi's commentary on the Talmud is incomplete or it's missing, they publish Rashbam's commentary on it. But he also was a commentator on the Torah itself, and he was famous for dealing with pshat. He would call it the unadorned text. He's an expert in Torah Shebaal Peh, but that's not the way he approaches the Chumash. He's in his commentary. And his famous introduction to his approach is in this week's Parsha, which starts out by Yeshiv Yaakov Be'eretz Megiri Aviv, source one. Yaakov settled in the land of the journeys of his fathers, Be'eretz Canaan, the land of Canaan. Ela Todot Yaakov. These are the generations, the stories, the descendants of Yaakov. Yosef ben Shvas Reshana. Yosef was 17 years old. Heirot Achav Batzon was with his shepherding with his brothers and the sheep. Who now Bnei Bilhan. He was a little kid. He was fooling around with the children of Bnei Zilpah. Avei Yosef Dibabra Havel Avihem. And Yosef brought bad news, negative stories about them. And we know where the story goes from there. And Rashi says about this, Eila told Yaakov, Yaskilu v'yavinu o'avei secha. People who love intelligence, wisdom, they know and they understand. Shekol ma'shilim dina rabotenu. Ma'shilim dina rabotenu. They know what the rabbi said in the Gemara and Shabbos. Text of Torah doesn't leave the pshat. Generally understood is that the pshat has religious significance. Afki ikarash al Torah, even though the important part of Torah, the ikar, the main, what we call Torah, ba'alam denu comes to teach us lo di enu brimizot pshat. It comes to teach us with hints and with subtleties in the text. Bagadot, the Gadata, Balachot, by Dinin and all the Halacha, the laws, by the Arikur Lashon, by repetitions, redundancy in the text, by the Deish Loshim, Rishtaim, Midot, Rabbi Eliezer, Benosh, Rabbi Yosef Glili, and these various principles for drash, for learning out from the text. There are the 32 principles of Rabbi Eliezer, the Shlosh, Shrey, Midot, Rabbi Ishmael, and the 13 principles, Kliar Shava, Binyan Av, and all that of Rabbi Ishmael that we say. Everyone knows those because they say they're the part of davening, the beginning of davening, 13 principles of Rabbi Ishmael, Kal v'chomer, those kinds of things. But we can learn from the text. Rishonim mitoch chasidotam. And the earlier generations, because they were so pious, nitazku lintot achrei hadrashot. That's why they were studying the drashot. They were studying the Torah Shebaal Peh, what we call Gemara, Talmud, Mishnah Gemara. Shehen ikar. He's going to emphasize this over and over again because that's what's important. When we talk kach, because of that, they were spending their time learning the Torah Shebaal Peh. Because of that, lohurglu ba'omek pshuto shel mikra. They did not spend time learning the pshat, the text of the Torah itself. Well, lefisha amru chachamim, and we know that the chachamim said, in basically paraphrasing Gemara Brachot, al tarbu b'nechem b'higayon. You shouldn't teach your children to spend too much time analyzing, and this talking about analyzing the text of the Torah. Begamam ruin, they said the simile in Bava Metzia, Osek b'mikra, mida ve'ena mida. Someone who's osek, spending his time learning Torah, learning the text of the Torah, what we call pshat, It's midav ein midah. It's a thing, but it's not really. But learning Talmud, that's what's important. That's a midah. That's a thing. So we should immediately stop doing this and immediately start learning Talmud. That's ikar. But mitokach, and because there's lo hurgulu kol kach pshutan shel mikraot, and that's why previous generations didn't spend much time looking at Pshat Torah. Looked at Miriam Besechet Shabbat, and that's why we have the Gemara and Shabbos, that this idea of mikra yote midei pshuto comes from. Hunya bar Ahavina. I forget who it was who said that. I was Tamnei Vesari Shanin. I was 18 years old. Garcina and Kula Talmud. I was 18 and I had learned all of the Talmud. And I knew it well. Lo have done the aim mikra yote. You'd say midei pshuto, and I had no idea that the pshat had any importance at all. I spent my whole time learning Gemara. That's all I did. Nothing has changed in Maran Yeshivot. So he's emphasizing there are shivim panim of Torah. Right, there are lots of ways of reading the text of the Torah, but the ikar, we call it the important way, the main way, is the drash. Midrash.
Well, is that saying that Rashi thinks that way too?
He's not saying that way. Well, Rashi is interesting. We're going to see how he approaches Rashi. Rashi, we already did last week, explicitly says that I am coming to teach the pshat plus the drashot that are dover davar alofanav, that help to establish what the text means. So Rashi is intentionally bringing both those together. There's a pshat in what it says plus the drash side that he thinks is important for you as the reader of the commentary to know. The Rashbam is just going to bring pshat. But he's going to start out with this introduction of this wasn't something that was done a whole lot beforehand, and he will disagree with his grandfather a lot, because that the drush, which is the text interpreted the light of the Torah Shabbat Peh, is the ikar. But the meaning of ein mikra yotzei midei pshuto, that the mikra, the text, does not leave its pshat, means that there is religious value specifically in understanding the pshat. There's something there. So Rashbam sees a gap, he's going to fill that. What pshat is basically how you'd read it. As a sophisticated reader, we know what the words mean, and we know about things like metaphors and symbolism, metonyms, and all that, but without looking at it through the eyes of the Mesorah of Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's Rashbam's mission in his commentary, right? There's a gap there, he's filling it. That's his niche to wrote. And then after he says this introduction, he has a nice little vignette about his grandfather. Talking to his grandpa. V'gam Rabbeinu Shlomo, this is verse 3, Avi Imi, and my grandpa Rabbeinu Shlomo, Meir Einei Hegola, who enlightened the eyes of the diaspora. Shepirish Torah Nevi'im Kutuvim, who explained all of Tanakh. Natanlein v'parish Pshuto Shel Mikra, and that he, in part, it would explain the Pshuto Shel Mikra. So Rashi does do that. Vafani Shmuel ben Rav Meir Chotano, that's all. And I, Shmuel, the son of Meir, Rashi's son-in-law, been descended through Rashi's daughter, Nitkavachti Imo, I debated with him, Ulfanav, in front of him. We had lots of the conversation like this. But Hodali, and he admitted to me, to Ilu Hayalo Panai, that if he had more time, he would have written a whole new commentary. According to the new pshat that I can understand on a daily basis. Because pshat, you can innovate. You can look at, but you can't innovate drash directly because that comes from the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is a Mesorah. And if I want to have a chidush in Torah Shebaal Peh, I have to have my chidush on the Talmud, on the record of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's fascinating. So that's what Rashi is going to do. These are the pshutim, mitchadshim b'chol yom, and he's saying that those exist and those are important, and we're still going to have that. We can still think about the text in new ways. Every day you can have a new chiddush. That's Rashba. So the question I want to look at is, why does he write this down here? This is part of a yeshiv, right? We've been learning Torah since Bereshis 2 months ago. So why is there an introduction here in Parshat Vayeshev where he gives this point about how well the drush is the ikar, but there's room for the pshat, so we're going to do that here. So, first, let's figure out what is this pshat that he's going to read in this pasuk. The pasuk is Eilat Yaakov Yosef Ben Shvas Reshana, and he introduces this to tell us what is the meaning of the word toldot. That's what he wants to say. So he continues in his comment. Eilat Yaakov. Rashbam continues, Vatayiru maskilim, and now you wise people who are reading my commentary and are not sitting in yeshiva, just doing Gemara, you're going to look at the pshat here. Masha Pirshu Rishonim. Let's look at how previous generation understood what toldot are. The Eila toldot Yaakov, what does it mean? Eila hamakorot v'marot she'iru liYaakov. This, they translate toldot as the things that happen, the occurrences, the the events of Yaakov's life. And basically, he's quoting the Midrash, which actually goes back to Noach. Eila toldot Noach, when it's explained the toldot. Source 5, Hadid Yachtiv, when it says, Pri Tzadik Etz Chayim. The fruits of a tzaddik is the tree of life. What does that mean? Mayim Perotav Shal Tzadik is Mitzvot Umasim Tovim. The toldot of Noah were the fact that he was a tzaddik, Tamim Yadar Tav. The toldot of a tzaddik are their Mitzvot Umasim Tovim. And Rashi, again, bringing what Rashi calls an agadic understanding of toldot, says the simile, Nimdecha she'ikar toldot hemshad yikim is masim tovim. That's what toldot means. And Rashi says, that's not pshat. Vinezeh, and this is Rashi, verse 7, Hinezeh hevelhu. That's, Rishonim are nice because they don't hold back. They disagree, they will tell you flat out, this is nonsense, okay? Even though he's just, you know, he's very respectful for his grandfather, see, but he will use harsh language.
So hevel means vanity.
Vanity, right. Well, hevel means a breath. Yeah. Something that goes away, a puff of air. Vanity, not in the sense of thinking you're important, but vanity in the sense of in vain, having no long-term consequences, meaningless. Kichol eila toldot. So when it says told eila toldot, these are the toldot. Omrim b'Torah uvktuvim. When it says that Yesh Mehem Shemefarsh Bnei Adam, sometimes it's talking about the children of a person. Yesh Mehem Rabim, but most of the time Shemefarshim Bnei Banim, it's talking about the grandchildren. That's what toldot are. The sentence beyond the actual children of, they'll go on to say, here's a story of, here's what, how their grandchildren came to be. Kasher Perashti Be'elat Toldot Noach. The way I explained, you know, this is on our parsha of Vayeshev. The way I explained, Rashbam says back in Noach. Came to Yaakov, Lamalakatiyah, Vahi ben Yaakov, Shnei Masar. Because we already saw Yaakov had 12 sons. And that was mentioned in the end of last week's parsha. Vatakotev Ela Todot Yaakov, Bnei Banav. So Todot Yaakov now is how his grandchildren were born. Shayu Shivim, because they ended up with 70 descendants, Vahayach Naldu, and where they, how they were born. Ketzad, what happened? Yosef Hayaben Shavas Reshana. Yosef was 17, Binikanu Boachav, and his brothers were jealous. Mitokach Yarad Yehuda made Achav, so Yehuda left his brothers, Vayelo Banim, Bechsivu Udalam, and he had his children, Peretz and Zerach. Binikagel Davar, things continued, Yosef Urim Mitzrayim, and Yosef went to Egypt, Benudalo Mitzrayim, Menashe Ephraim, and Menashe Ephraim were born in Egypt, all his other grandchildren, Yaakov, Vishalach Yosef Lishvil Aviv, then Yosef brought his father, Beito, and his family, Achiv Shivim, all 70 of them, that we have a list of those in Parsha Vayigash. Kol zeh hayatzrich Moshe Rabbeinu l'ktov, and this is all written down in the Torah, she'aydei zeh hochicham b'shivim nefesh yadu v'otecha, because he's going to say at the end of the Torah that your ancestors came down to Egypt with 70, and now you're as numerous as the stars. So toldot here is the story of the grandchildren of Yaakov. That's what toldot means. And Rashbam's assumption. Similarly, by Noach, it says the children of Noach were Shem, Ham, and Yafet, and the toldot are his grandchildren and the 70 nations that happened after that. So I think that's why Rashbam brings the story of him talking to Rashi here, because toldot is the story of how grandparents end up with their grandchildren, the relationship there. So this is a cute story of toldot Rashi, basically. This is the story of the Bnei Banim of Rashi himself, right? All of Rashi's grandchildren were the Bali Tosfot, and continued on. doesn't explain why he does the whole introduction, though. But at least the Rashi story belongs here because it connects with the Toldo. And then if you look back, it says that that Toldo means B'nai Banim, grandchildren. Kasher pe Rashti be'ela Toldot Noach, like I explained back in Noach. So you go back and you look for Rashbam's commentary on Parshat Noach, and you can't find it. It doesn't exist. It's interesting about Rashi. If you look in Sfaria, it has a one-liner there that says, El Toldot B'Noach are B'nai Banav, the grandchildren of Noach. But that's not actually in any source. That's an interpolation from our comment here in Vayeshev. So Rabbi Hillel Novetzky, who's the Ala Torah, sort of worked on reconstructing Rashbam's commentary because there is no commentary on Noah. So he basically looked at various sources that quoted the commentary, because the commentary obviously existed, because lots of Chizkuni, especially probably Ibn Ezra, quote Rashbam on all these other parts of the Torah, but we have no documentation of that. Because that's a story. So this is the way Novetzky puts it.
You could write one like
yeah.
Could you know, like people write Jane Austen novels now.
Okay, so you could write a pshat commentary on the Torah, but I don't think it would gain anything to say this is by Rashbam. I mean, that would be, I guess, to me lying. But you know, I can write my own commentary. In the style of, that would be fine. So what Novetzky did was, again, looking at other documents to see what cited Rashbam. So he says that the commentary was first printed in 1705. So Rashbam is 13th century. So it's 400 years later that we actually have a printed commentary from a sole surviving man. Only one manuscript has ever been found of the Rashbam's commentary on Chumash. Everyone agrees that's the same Rashbam as the Baal Tosfos, as the Gemara commentary. And again, we have other commentaries who quote Rashbam, who clearly had other sources there. But this manuscript says the fate has remained unknown since being plundered during the Shoah.
So it doesn't exist anymore?
Right.
Wow.
We have the printed one that was based on it. So everyone will print the text of the Rashbam. But again, single manuscript, and the single manuscript, before being lost, was missing 24 chapters. It's truncated both ends, so we're missing Rashbam's commentary up to chapter 17. The Breishit Noach and Lech Lecha, we have no Rashbam on. Even though he clearly had it, because he just cited it himself in Vayeshev, he said, look at my commentary back in Noach, and I can't do that. And then Devarim 33 on, and also missing Rashbam's commentary on Pinchas. A lot of things were missing. And then since then, Rashbam's commentary on two of the chapters were found in other manuscripts. Importantly, one of that the commentary on Bereishit Aleph, which stops in the middle of the last verse of the chapter, was found since Novetzky has a degree in ancient and medieval manuscripts, so he knows what MS Munich 5.3 means. I don't know where that is. And commentary on the end of Arm 34, at the end of Rashi's commentary, and this other manuscript. But each of those is one folio. It's one page. So you have one page of his gracious commentary that ends in the middle of a comment on Vayir Vayivoka Yom Shishi, and has two words and then stops. So we're still missing about 10% of the complete commentary of the Rashba. Like I said, you can look at this source over here, you click on it, and talking about trying to reconstruct all the last parts. And I will mention that this found commentary, the one daf of Bereishit on Bereishit Aleph through Friday and creation, that commentary is controversial. Again, one manuscript, is it really the same Rashbam? Is it really Rashbam? And some think it's a forgery, but the argument there is not based on evidence. Oh, I didn't get my MSC Yaakov. That little red here means I kept meaning to get these notes for myself, but I didn't do that. But if you look at the text, his actual comments are against the halacha. He says famously, the pshat of Vayera Vayavoker is that it was the daytime, and then it became evening, and then it was night, so that the day is before the night. Halachically, we have the night following the day there. But I think that's a weak argument, because the Rashbam everywhere in his pshat says explicitly that I'm not giving you the halakha. You want the actual halakha, go look at the Gemara. This is the way I would interpret the pshat, and then you can see why it's different there. So I don't think, I mean, famously on the Rashbam, his explanation of Vayus Totafot Benenecha, be a sign between your eyes, is metaphoric. He says that's pshat. The drush is that you literally should put these things on your head and on your arms, but he says that meaning there in terms of pshat, it is a metaphor there. And that's why he says, Ikra shel Torah balam deinu hagadot balachot, that the Ikar is the halacha, but I'm going to tell you how I would read the text if I didn't have the Mesorah behind me. And the Elsi Akarov Kamenetsky, in fact, does not consider it a forgery. Art Scroll does. So Art Scroll's Mikra Gedola does not print the Rashbam on Breshit. It starts it with Vayera, which made Rav Herschel Schachter very upset that we don't censor Rishonim because they have opinions you don't like. I think it was a bad idea. So I will accept this text of Breshit as being authentically part of Rashbam's commentary. It doesn't help us with our looking back at Noach, that's still missing there. But when we do look at the beginning of Breshit, Rashbam's commentary, he has an introduction there to his methodology and what he's doing. So this is the beginning. This is Rashbam on Breshit Aleph Aleph. That's a real introduction. And it's very similar to what he says in our Parshin Vayeshev. Avinu Amaskilim, that all wise people understand, he called Divrei Rabbeinu Dershetim Kinim V'Amitim, that the drashot, the words of Chazal, are true. That's the bottom line. Zeho Amor B'Sechet Shabbat, when it says Havina Bar Tamni Esrei Shinyanin, when it says I was 18, Lo Yadana De'Ein Mikra Yotzei Midei Pshuto, and I still had learned the whole Talmud, and I had no idea that I'm supposed to study Pshat. That's Gemara on Shabbos. He quoted that before. V'Ikar Halachot Radashot, and the essential halachas and the drashot, the midrashim, yotzim miyitur hamikraot, o mishuni lashon, come from redundancies, subtleties in the text. Shenichta pshuto shel mikra b'lashon shecholi lilmod hemeno ikar drashat, that pshat is written in a way that we can see hints at the drash within the text itself. Come on, here's an example. Eila toldot hashemayim ve'aretz bihi bar'am, another toldot here, when it says this is the story of the generations of heaven and earth as they were created. Dershu Chachamim ba'Avraham. He Bar'am is short for Avraham. We rearrange the letters there. That this is the story of the heavens and earth for the sake of Avraham. The universe was created for the sake of Avraham. That's not pshat. Rashi is telling us that's a drash because me'arichut al-Hashem, because it's redundant. There's no reason to put that extra word in there. So we say when I get this sort of sense of the Torah Shebal Peh, telling us that the Torah is giving us a story of creation in order to teach us about Abraham. That's his introduction. So my question was, why does he introduce it again by Yeshiv? When you look through Rashi Pshat, he repeats this introduction a whole lot of times. For instance, and Parshat Mishpatim, as he's introducing all the laws in Mishpatim from Shemot Chaf Aleph, Yedu v'Avino Yodei Sechel. You know he's going to introduce because he's going to repeat the same phrase again. Wise people know. Ki lo bati lefaresh halachot. I'm not coming to explain the halacha. You have plenty of books of that. I wrote my own commentary on the halacha. You can read that one as well. Even though that's what's important. And Jack Shapiro would say, okay, let's go study the halacha and then stop with all this textual stuff, right? The way I said in my introduction back in Parsha Bereishit. And because of all subtleties in the text, extra words, extra letters, we understand where all the agadata and the halacha come from. And some of those midrashim, both midrash halacha, midrash agada, are quoted in the parish of my grandpa Rashi. You can go look at that. Vani laparish prutansha mikrot bati. But I am just going to tell you pshat in these words. Veftrosh hadinim halachot lefi derech eretz. And I'm going to say, explain what these laws mean, the way I'm reading them, the way the common person would. Not in the light of the Torah. Do not follow my rules for halacha. Afal pikein halachot eikar. Because the important thing is the halacha is understood. Kumosham ravatenu halacha okeret mishnah. The way I'm not sure where that quote comes from, but that the halacha overrules mishnah in this not sense of the mishnah, but of what we learn. That a pasuk says, "You pierce his ear, the slave's ear, and v'abadol olam, means slave forever." That's pshat. The halacha is it's until the yovel. And you can study what why they learn it that way. Similarly, in Vayikra Gimel, when it's talking about Sarat, similar kind of introduction. Kol parshiot nigei adam, all these parshas about Sarat, about what we call leprosy, the nigeim of a person, nigei bagadim, nigei batim, and Sarat out of clothing, Sarat out of house, umrei tehem, how they look, v'cheshbon eskaram, and how long they have to be isolated or quarantined. With Sarot Lovanot and the whole white hair thing, Shir Shachar, and the black hair of Zahov and the gold hair. Ein lenu achar pshutosha mikra klo. You can't learn halacha from pshat in the mikra. You can't just read the text and then assume you know the halacha. If you do that, you're a kara'i. That's what's wrong. Lo abikiyut derech eretz shabnei adam. And you can't know science of every, the culture of everybody else. These are not medical diseases. But the Mesorah of the Midrash, Hua Ikar, that's what's important. Like I said, he repeats this comment over and over again. I think what he's doing, that this is all paralipsis. You know the term paralipsis? Important word. It's when you, it's to draw, emphasizing something by not mentioning it. When you politically say, you know, your politician says, I will not mention my opponent's criminal record and terrible policy. That's a way of drawing attention by very publicly saying, I will not say this. That's what Rashbam is saying here. I am not going to talk about the halacha. That's a way of saying, that's important, but we're going to do something else here. Drawing attention to it. Same thing that when Rashi said, Eini yodea ma'amam deinu. We quoted that last time. Rashi said, I don't know if this is there. Or Rashi says, Yesh midrashe agada rabim. Or Rashi says, there are lots of midrashim, but I'm only coming to tell you the pshat. He's telling you that midrash is important. Go look at it. I'm not going to say anything, but it's there. And what this is an apologia, which it comes from the same root as apology, but it's the opposite of apology. Apologia is a justification for what he's doing. Why is he bringing the pshat here? Because the pshat's goal, a mikra yotze midei pshuto, the text doesn't leave the pshat, meaning the halakha is important, but we still have, there's still room for the pshat to be learned. Pshat's his goal. He's very flattered that you're reading his pshat here. Thank you very much here. But you really should know the Torah Shabbat Peh first. If all you're getting here is pshat in the Torah, then you're missing something. That's the Rashba. Because his comments are going to be different from the actual halacha. He doesn't talk about why, right? I mean, that's a huge question. Why, if the Torah means avadoli olam, means that he should be a slave until the yovel, why not say that? Why is it shot different from the actual halacha? Rashi doesn't deal with that. That's Rav Kuberman's sefer that I mentioned up above. You can actually get that on HebrewBooks.org. And I'm trying to get through it. But like I said, it's about 1,000 pages long. So it could take me some time. So philosophically, what does the pshat mean in terms of our understanding of what the halacha is? So he keeps repeating that because he says that right before he's going to give a pshat that is different from the halacha. That's why he keeps repeating these introductions throughout his commentary. And I understand why he says that in the matter of halacha. Because he doesn't want us to get confused. But why bring in our parsha? Right? He says, well, you know, the drash is toldot are masim tovim, but toldot really means the children and grandchildren, descendants of Yaakov. And again, he gives that little introduction to tell us the important thing is the Midrash. You should go read it, but I'm going to give you a pshat. What is that Midrash that's so important? It says, "Lamdecha she'ikar toldotehem shel tzadikim ma'asim tovim." The ikar of the toldot of a tzaddik are their good deeds. I think what he's doing is hinting at the purpose of Sefer Bereishit. Phyllis looks confused. Why is...
I'm sure it'll fall into place.
Yes, sir. Because the question is always, if the Torah is teaching us the halachot, why bring all the stories in Bereishit in the first place? Why have all... I mean, that's a lot of story here. There's not a lot of halacha here. If the point is, you know, that's Rashi's first question. Why start with Bereishit? Why not just start with Chodesh HaZelachem? To start with the halachas. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah talks about what is Sefer Bereishit about? And it quotes a pasuk from Yoshua, talking about when he makes the sun, when the sun stands still over Givon, Vayidom HaShemesh, Vayirach Amad, the sun stood still, the moon stood. Halohiktu Baal Sefer Yashar. This is what is written in Sefer Yashar. That's a quote from Yeshua. So the Gemara asks, my Sefer Yashar, what is this Sefer HaYashar? Amar Bechir, Bar Abba, Amar Yochanan, Zeh Sefer Avram Yisof Yaakov. Sefer HaYashar is the stories of the Avot. Sefer Bereishit. So Nikru Yasharim, because they were called the Yasharim, the righteous ones. It says, Bilam says it, Tamot Nafshi Mot Yasharim. They were Yasharim. So the Netziv, in his introduction to Bereishit, says, that's what the Bereishit's there for. Sefer Bereishit's there. Ken Harbi Lamdina Mahlichot Avot. We learn from what happens to the Avot. Because they are Yasharim. They define the moral, ethical values that we have. B'derech Eretz. Masha Shayach L'Kiyum Olam. What needs to happen in order for the world to continue to exist. That's what all the Sefer, the creation of the world, is all about. How do we keep the world going? And specifically, it's Gmul Chasadim that we learn from Sefer Bereishit. Mishum Hachi, therefore, Nikra Shmo, Kemokain, Sefer Yashar, Amase Havot Zehapara. That these specific deeds. That's Sefer Yashar. That's Sefer Bereishit. That's what comes to teach us. It's where we learn principles of moral behavior, which really can't be specified in black letter law. This is what you do in every situation. They're principles, not rules. We read the stories of the Avot to learn from them. And that's what the Midrashim, fill in those details, we take them seriously, not literally, to what they illustrate, what Chazal wanted us to learn from these stories in there. What does that have to do with Toldot? Because Rabbi Liebtag points out that this phrase of Toldot is the outline of Sefer Bereishit. We're just listed here. It goes through that. Eilot Shemayim Ba'aretz, Toldot Adam, Toldot Noach, Toldot Bnei Noach, Toldot Shem, Toldot Terach, Toldot Yishmael, Toldot Yitzchak, Toldot Esav, Toldot Yaakov. Right? We say Eilot Toldot, and then we have a short history, and then it goes to the next Eilot Toldot. You have these sections of stories about our ancestors there. And so Eilot Toldot Yaakov, our Parsha, is the last section of Sefer Bereishit. Right? This is a story of Yosef and his brothers. Lots of things can be learned from that. So that Rashi's comments here are not meant to be the introduction to Sefer Bereishit, but it's sort of the conclusion. He's telling you, we've dealt with Toldot before. He quoted that before about the drash on El Toldot Shemayim Ba'aretz is for the sake of Abraham. That's what Bereishit's here for. It's to teach us the story to Abraham. And he's telling us, we're going to continue going on and continue to explain the Pshat of the text. But if you've gotten this far, you've gone through all these Toldot and only read the Pshat, then you kind of missed the point. I mean, yes, there's something to be said. You need to learn what the text means, but you need to get the underlying meaning, and that's what the drash is all about. You need to go back and do that. And if all you've got is pshat, then you've missed the ikar of what we're supposed to learn. And if you just want the story, there's a perfectly good musical that'd be a lot easier to to read than all these Hebrew words, right? Because that's the story. that's something else. So Rashbam here is reminding us by saying this introduction here, that the drasha, the ikar, that the drasha, the narrative parts of the Torah, what we call the agada, is no less important than the drasha and the halacha, because it's not meant to be a book of stories. It's our ethical and spiritual DNA. It's there to teach us something. And that's what Eilat told Yaakov. Yeah, literally, it's the story of Yaakov's children, grandchildren, all that. But midrashically, we have to learn about relationship with others, relationship with the world, from this toldo, from the story of Yosef and his brothers.
And that point is, that's not all halachic, though.
Right. So that this is the midrash on what we call agadic midrash. Mm-hmm. And all of those are teaching. I still have something to teach us as well.
God.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Have a great Shabbos.
Have a great Shabbos.